Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. Omar Mar. Here we have a quote of that which was said earlier. In fact, this is a quote from the top line of this Daf. Bosar. The posuk with regard to Bris Milah used the term Bosar, and from this we learned Afal Pi Sheyesh Shom Baheres Imol, even though there is Baheres. Baheres is a form of tsaras. Nevertheless, it shall be cut off in order to accomplish the milah, the circumcision, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. The Gemara asks, Ha lama likra, what do I need a pasuk to tell me that you shall cut off the skin, the foreskin, the oreo, the orla, for accomplishing milah? Dovar she'ein miskaven. When we say cutting off the skin, we're talking about the skin with the tzaras on it. We mentioned extensively in our previous shiur that the Torah forbids, in general, the removal of tzaras, the cutting off of tzaras, in the event that the tzaras is found on the male organ where the bris milah takes place. The Torah, through the word boser, says that milah overrides the prohibition of tzaras removal. Here the Gemara asks, what do I need a pasuk to tell me something that I would have known anyway? When I'm cutting off the tzaras, I don't have intention for the violation of cutting off the tzaras. My intention is for the circumcision. This is called a dovor she'ein miskaven. And as such, we say the dovor she'ein miskaven mutar. Something that you don't have an intention for, if you don't have an intention for violating the sin, so then everything's okay. So what do I need a pasuk to tell me that which I know is all right anyway? Once again, we're talking about circumcising a person that has saras on that spot. It should be okay even without the pasuk. Omar Abaye. So we have here Abaye, double underlined, along with Rava, two approaches to explain what I need the pasuk for. So Abaye says, Lo nitzrucha ela l'Rebbe Yehuda. I need the pasuk for Rebbe Yehuda. In other words, through if I adopt Rebbe Yehuda's outlook on the matter, I understand why I need a pasuk. Because he says, the Omar, Rebbe Yehuda's of the opinion, Dover Shein Miskavin, also, that if an unwanted result takes place, even if I didn't have intention for that result, I am nevertheless considered in violation. So, if I didn't have the pasuk saying basar, I would have hesitated, I would have forbidden doing the milah where there is tzaras, because I would have been cutting off the nega, the tzaras, from that part of the anatomy. Rava Omar, Afilu Temo Rebbe Shimon. Even if you accept Rebbe Shimon, who says Dover She'ein Miskaven is Mutter, I still need the Pasuk. Moide Rebbe Shimon, Bepsik Reshe Velo Yomus. Rebbe Shimon agrees that there is a violation when the outcome, when the forbidden outcome is inevitable. So that when I'm cutting off an orla, a foreskin, which has tzaras on it, I'm inevitably cutting off tzaras, even if that is not my intention. Even if my intention was just to perform the milah, the circumcision, nevertheless, since the outcome is inevitable, Rebbe Shimon agrees that it would have been forbidden, if not for the pasuk. The Gemara asks, why is it Rava that is telling me that I need the pasuk for Rabbi Shimon, wouldn't Abaye agree with that? So the Gemara asks, of Abaye less lay high svara? Does Abaye not hold from what Rava just said that Rabbi Shimon concedes? Abaye, but Rava Damri Chavayu, both Abaye and Rava say, Moide Rabbi Shimon bipsik reshe velo yomus. Abaye also agrees. So why in this piece of Gemara is it Rava that's presenting the need for the pasuk even according to Rabbi Shimon? Shouldn't Abaye be saying the same thing? The Gemara answers, you're right. Vosser deshoma me Rava savra. After Abaye heard this point from Rava, then Abaye also adopted that approach, as the Gemara just said. At this point in the Gemara, you'll notice a long bracketed section. We have a bracket length indicator by our indicating a vertical dash dotted line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see that all of this is in a brackets. The note on the side reads, Sograyim elu einom l'shem dilug. These brackets, we'll say a bit out of character, are not for the purpose of skipping. Elo letachem. Rather, they are simply to show the boundaries. Es letachem es lishno ashnia. There's a second loshon in the Gemara, second version that is introduced by the expression ikah demasni law. When we have second versions or alternative versions to whatever in the Shas, we through in Gemara markings we try to squiggle underline the lead-in expression, and we've done that over here. The Roman numerals 1 and 2 to the immediate side of the Gemara text also indicate the two Lishonos. So let us continue now in the bracketed section. Iko demasni lahod Abaye v'Rava aha. There are those that apply Abaye and Rava's comments, Abaye saying that a posuk was needed for Rabbi Yehuda, and Rava saying, I need it even for Rabbi Shimon, all in the light or on the heels of the question of, isn't this upcoming issue a Dovar Shein Miskaven, and as such, I shouldn't need to have a Pasuk. So all of this is sort of like a repeat structure Gemara, but the focus is on a different source. So now let's continue in the Gemara. We say that there are those that teach Abaye and Rava Aha on the following. Hishomer b'nega hatzoras, lishmor m'uid v'lasois. That's the pasuk that in which we are warned not to cut off discolored skin that is saras. La'asos i'ato oise. The brisa here infers from the pasuk that you're not allowed to directly cut off the skin that's discolored. Avol ato oise oisoi b'siv she'al gabi raglo. You could conceivably wrap the, if the foot, let's say, has this discoloration, and you wrap a sieve, in this case a rough substance, that you insert into your shoe, ubemoit sha'al gabi seifo. Let's say a person has tsaras on his shoulder, and he needs to carry burdens supported by poles. A moat is a pole. So if a person has tsaras, let's say on his foot or on his shoulder, and he then has these other elements that will rub against the skin, the im ovra, and if the tsaras goes away, is rubbed off as a result of that, so be it, and he is not in violation of the pasuk, because the pasuk is telling me you're not allowed to actively remove it. The Gemara, and here he's not actively removing it, but it's in the course of the rubbing of the tsaras against these other substances that it gets removed. And what is the point here? I have a pasuk that allows for his wearing the sieve on his foot or carrying burdens on poles on his shoulder. So that, thanks to the pasuk, I know he's allowed to do that. The Gemara asks, V'holom alikra, what do I need a pasuk to allow a person with tsaras to carry poles on his shoulder? Dovar shein miskavinu, in the event that tsaras gets rubbed out, So it was something that he was not miskaving for. He didn't focus on that. That wasn't his intention. The Dover Shein miskaving mutter, and something that results, a prohibition that results, but it wasn't the focus of his attention, it's okay. So I know from a general rule that it would have been okay for him to have a siv al raglo or a moit al ksefoy. Why does the Brisa feature the pasuk as allowing that when I would have known it anyway? Omar Abaye, and now the repeat structure. Lo nitzucha elo l'Rebbe Yehuda. The need for the pasuk is in accordance with Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. Domar Dover Shein Meskavein Oser. That something that is a prohibited outcome that results even without your having intended for it, nevertheless one is said to be in violation. So in this case, the pasuk tells me he is okay. He's not in violation of the issur of removing, the prohibition of removing tzaras. But Rava Amar Afilu Tema Rebbe Shimon. Rava tells you that this Tanaic source can conform to Rebbe Shimon as well. Rebbe Shimon, who in general says Dover Shein Meskaven is mutter, however Umayde Rebbe Shimon bepsik reishe velo yomus. Rebbe Shimon will concede that if the outcome is inevitable, the forbidden outcome is inevitable, then there would be a violation. Therefore, the pasuk is needed to tell me, don't worry, even if the outcome in this case is inevitable, the prohibited outcome of tzara'as removal. The Gemara asks, like we saw before, of Abaye, les lei hai svara, does Abaye not hold from what Rava said, that even Rebbe Shimon would need the pasuk? V'ha Abaye, v'Rava d'amri chavayu, Rava and Abaye. The focus here is on Abaye. They both say Moide Rebbe Shimon bepsik reishe v'lo yomus, that Rebbe Shimon concedes that when the osur outcome is inevitable, then there is a prohibition, as indicated by the phrase psik reishe v'lo yomus. That phrase means if the prohibited outcome is inevitable there, and one does it even without having had intended for it, there is a violation. The Gemara says, Labosur Deshamei Me Rava Savra, after Abaye heard this point from Rava, Abaye adopted it as well. The Gemara continues, Ve Abaye Aliba de Rebbe Shimon. This is a reference to Abaye earlier, who had said that the posuk was needed for Rebbe Yehuda. What did Abaye at that point think with regard to Rebbe Shimon's use of the pasuk? So the Gemara is asking, "V'Abaye aliba de Rebbe Shimon hai bosar mai ovid lei." We saw the word bosar in the source 4 lines from the top, and Abaye at that point had said, I need the bosar for Rebbe Yehuda. So the question here is, what does Abaye at that point think Rebbe Shimon will do with bosar? And you'll notice a star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. All you have to do is align this with the star on the upper part of the page, and you'll see the line that's being referred to there. So what does Abaye understand Rebbe Shimon would use Bosser for? Omar Rav Amram Be'oimer, in the event that someone has Kavona, where he says Lokutz Baharosoi Hu Miskaving, that when he is doing the Mila, he's doing it with the intention of removing the Baharis. So the pasuk tells me even someone like that shall go ahead and do the mila, even though he is intentionally violating the removal of tzaras. The Gemara says, Tenach Godol. That explanation will be good for a Godol. A Godol meaning someone who is bar mitzvah, who has intentions, whose kavona is said to be a reality, something that you have to deal with. Katan ma'ikol ameimar, there is a bosar posuk in the context of a minor as well. Now, and a minor does not know, doesn't have the mental ability to be mechaving for something, to have expressed intention for something. Therefore, what does Bosar do in the case of the circumcision of a minor? Once again, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says Dovar Shein Miskaveng is Mutter. Omar Rav Misharshia, B'Oimer Avi HaBen, where the father of the child is saying, Lokus Baheres Dibino, Hu Dekom Mechaveng, where he expresses the intention of removing the Baheres during the circumcision of his son. Question. V'i Iko Acher. Let us say for a moment, so you've got this father that's expressing his intention that he is going to circumcise his son with the intention of removing the tzaras at the same time. And the pasuk is saying, okay, he can do it, even though he's got this wrongful intention. The Gemara's question is going to be, do I really need a pasuk for that scenario? Could I not call on someone else? Let's say you've got a father expressing his wrongful intention. Why not just get someone else who doesn't have this intention? Get an outsider. I understand a father is interested in seeing to it that his son has the tzaras removed. He doesn't want his son to be tomei. What about an outsider who doesn't have such an intention? So get an outsider to do the circumcision. And we will see a rule very shortly in the Gemara that in the event that you've got an outsider who will do the act without a wrongful intention, that's the way to go, and don't use the father in the first place. And in such a case, we would once again be asking the question, what do I need the pasuk for? So the Gemara asks, if there is an outsider that doesn't have the wrongful intention, it's not his son, so he's not interested in the removal of the baheres of the tzaras. Let the outsider do the circumcision. The Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, kol mokom shata moitze ase velo isase. Whenever you have a situation of an ase and a lo sase that are working against each other, if you can fulfill the positive command and at the same time not violate the negative command, that's the way to go. The imlav, and if you have no choice, then we say yavo ase v'yidche lo isase. Then the positive command, in this case it would be circumcision, will overrule the negative command removal of tzaras. But in the event, the suggestion is, you can mekayim shnehem. You can have an outsider do the mila. That would be the fulfillment of the positive, and you'll avoid the negative because the outsider is doing the mila without kavona. And we're working within Rabbi Shimon. It's a dover shein miskaving with regard to the removal of the tzaras. So since that option exists, what do I need the pasuk for? What's the role of the pasuk? The Gemara answers very simply, Daleko Acher, in the event that there is no one else. You've got only the father. So the pasuk is telling me that if you have a person, in this case the father, who's expressing his intention to remove the tzaras while doing the mila, he can do it anyway. Omar Mar, Yom Tov Eino Doche Elo Bizmano Bilvad. This is a quote from that which we saw back on Kuflamid Beis Omid Beis, and that's what the arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text helps you to align this, to find where this quote was by finding the parallel arrow back on Kuflamid Beis Omid Beis. So we had said that though circumcision can be done on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it can be done on those days only if it's the eighth day of the child's life. But circumcision will not be doche Yom Tov if it's Mila Shelo Bizmano, if it's not the eighth day. Minohani Mili. From where do we know that Mila Shelo Bizmano is not Doche, is does not overrule Yom Tov. Now, that very point is the title of our sugya under the Nosei heading, Mila Shelo Bizmano Eino Doche Yom Tov. In addition, as we go on in the Gemara, we will encounter some geometric forms. The first form is a triangle, and under our Mivneh heading, we've noted Sidra Shel Mekoros Me Ha Mikra, a series of sources from Psukim. So now we continue in the Gemara. From where do we know Milo Shelo Bizmano is not Doche, does not overrule or supersede Yom Tov? In simpler terms, you cannot do a Milo Shelo Bizmano on Yom Tov. Omar Chizkiyah v'chein Tana de Bechizkiyah. The Tanaic source taught in the Yeshiva of Chizkiyah says Omar Kra. The Pasuk says, Lo sosiru mimenu ad boker. This Pasuk is a reference to the Korban Pesach, and more specifically, leftover Korban Pesach. The Pasuk says, and it's quoted in its entirety underneath the Rashi commentary, the Pasuk says, Lo sosiru mimenu ad boker, vanosu mimenu ad boker, bo'esh tisrofu. So, in this Pasuk, there seems to be a bit of a redundancy. On the one hand, the Pasuk says, don't leave over the Pesach, the Korban Pesach meat, ad boker, until the morning. And, well, in the event that you did leave it over, so then leftover meat is to be burnt. It's called nosar. So once the Pasuk says, don't leave it over till the morning, I understand that that which I would be burning is that which was left till the morning. So the Brisa says, She'ein tamud lomer ad boker. When the Pasuk goes on to say, Vanosar mimenu ad boker, that ad boker is extra. Ma Talmud Lomer Ad Boker, so what is it teaching me? Bo akosuv liten loy boker sheni lisreifaso. It's coming to tell me that you do not burn the noser the first morning after Pesach night. Pesach night is the beginning, is Tesvav Nisan, the ushering in of Tesvav Nisan. We call that the Seder night. You're supposed to, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, you would eat the Korban Pesach during the Seder night. If meat is left over till the morning, that's the 15th of Nisan in the morning, that's called Nosar. When do you burn it? Not then and there. You burn it the 16th. On Yom Tov itself, you're not allowed to burn it. The Korban Pesach was shechted on the 14th of Nisan, which is a weekday. The rule we are seeing here is that a weekday sacrifice, being that it was a sacrificed on the 14th of Nisan, a weekday sacrifice, its remains cannot be burnt on Yom Tov. Therefore, you have to wait till the 16th of Nisan, which is the second day of Pesach, which is not on the Torah level, is not Yom Tov. It's not, it's the Torah, and in Eretz Yisrael, it's celebrated as the first day of Chol HaMoed. What's the tie-in from this to our discussion? With Rashi, you can appreciate it. Rashi says that Milo Shelo Bizmano is something that we would call a weekday type thing. Namely, Milo Shelo Bizmano, when you're looking at Yom Tov, this is not its time. So just like by the Korban Pesach, a weekday Korban is not allowed to be done on Shabbos, Milo Shelo Bizmano is not allowed to be done on Shabbos or Yom Tov either. Continuing in the Gemara, Abaye Omar Kro. Abaye says, well, you've got a Pasuk that says, Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbato. That Pasuk tells me that Korbanos of Shabbos you do on Shabbos. V'lo oilas chul b'Shabbos, v'lo oilas chul b'Yom Tov. But a weekday sacrifice you don't offer on Shabbos, nor do you offer it on Yom Tov. And Milo Shelo Bizmano is like a weekday thing. So from this we learn the point that Milo Shelo Bizmano is like an oilas chul b'Yom Tov, which you're not allowed to do. Rava Omar Kro. V'hu levado yoseh lochem. This is a pasuk in the context of Yom Tov. Hu v'lo machshirin. The word in this pasuk, you've got some exclusionary expressions. You've got the word hu and the word levadoi. Hu is exclusionary, meaning the activities that you need for food preparation you're allowed to do, but lo machshirin, but not preparatory activities. For example, if a person doesn't have a pot, he's not allowed to make a pot on Yom Tov. That's called machshirei oichel nefesh. So that cooking the food, malachas that you're doing directly to the food, that those are allowed, but preparatory type things are not allowed. Levado, velo milo shelo bezmano, de asya mikal v'chomer. The word levado is the focus of our point, of Rava's point, and that word excludes doing mila that is not on the eighth day on Yom Tov. Without the pasuk, I would have said that mila is doicha, even if it's shelo bezmano, how would I have known that? Da asya mikal v'chomer. That means that without the pasuk, through Kal v'chomer logic, I would have had Milo Shelo Bezmano, in fact, being Doicha, overruling, superseding Yom Tov. How would that Kal v'chomer have worked? So, Rashi spells it out, and it's information that we've learned on the previous daf here in Shabbos, and it reasons as follows. Tzoras is docha voda, and milo shelo bezmana is doche tzoras. So, if that be the case, we know that avoda is docha yom tov. You can do avodi. We do sacrificial activity on yom tov. So we see that avoda is something stronger than yom tov. And Soras supersedes Avoda, and Mila supersedes Soras. So it goes without saying then that Mila, even Mila Shelo Bezmana, which supersedes Soras, it goes without saying it should supersede Yom Tov. Therefore, I need this Pasuk to say otherwise. Rav Ashi, here is our fourth triangle. Rav Ashi says, Shabboson is a posuk by Yom Tov, and the posuk says Shabboson, asay hu. Shabboson is a positive command that you shall observe Yom Tov with non-malacha activities. V'havi le Yom Tov asay v'lo saseh. With this in mind, Yom Tov becomes a positive command, Shabboson, and the lo saseh of lo saseh kol malacha. The ein asay doicha es lo saseh v'asay, and the asay of mila, which in this case mila shelo bezmano, is not a strong enough mitzvah to overrule Yom Tov, which has two elements: a lo saseh, a negative aspect, and an asay, positive aspect. Now, as far as mila bezmano, there we have a special riboy from the word b'yom, which tells me b'yom, even on Shabbos, even on Yom Tov. But Mila, as far as Mila Shelo Bezmano is concerned, it's a mere aseh, and it cannot go up against Yom Tov, which is an aseh and a lois aseh. Klal Omar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Akiva would not allow machshirei mila to be done on Shabbos, because all of the things that constitute machshirei mila, the making of the knife and all other activities that are associated with getting yourself ready for the mila, could have been done erev Shabbos. And Rabbi Kiva's rule is anything that could have been done erev Shabbos is not doiche Shabbos, leaving only the actual cutting, which could not have been done erev Shabbos. That alone is allowed to be done on Shabbos. As we continue into the Gemara, we notice a new marking. We see a diamond. And under our Mivneh heading, we have indicated Shnei Meimros, Shorabihudom Arav, the Ka'omar Halacha Rabbi Akiva. We have on two occasions Rabbi Yehuda Marav ruling like Rabbi Akiva. One is in the context of Mila, and the second is in the context of Pesach. And in both cases, Rabbi Yehuda Marav paskins like Rabbi Akiva, in effect saying Machshirin are not Doiche. Machshirin, the preparatory stages, are not Doiche. The preparatory Mila, preparatory Korban Pesach, are not Doiche Shabbos. HaGemora Tazbir Lama Tzrichin Eshneim. Why do I need these two rulings? In cases like this, the feeling is just say Halacha Karebi Kiva in one case, and I would figure out the other case as well. The Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav Halacha Karebi Kiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva that the machshire mila are not doiche Shabbos. Utna nami gabi Pesach ki ay gavno. We find the same thing with regard to the korban Pesach. Now we know that the korban Pesach, if the 14th of Nisan, which is the time for slaughtering korban Pesach, falls out on Shabbos, you slaughter the korban Pesach. What about someone that doesn't have a knife? Can he bring it through? Can he bring a knife through Rishus Harabim to the Beis Hamikdash? So Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva, Kol Melacha She'efshar Lo La'asoisim Erev Shabbos, any activity that you could have done on Friday, Eino Deiches Shabbos. That kind of activity, like bringing a knife, you could have brought the knife from Erev Shabbos. So you cannot bring the knife on Shabbos. That involves Hoitzah. However, slaughtering the Korban Pesach on Friday, if Friday is not the 14th of Nisan, so you can't slaughter it prematurely, therefore, Shechita is Doiche Shabbos. The Omar of Yudom Arav, Halacha Rabbi Akiva. Well, the Paskins like Rabbi Akiva, which is basically telling me that machshirin, which are things, all those things you could have done Erev Shabbos, you cannot, will not doiche Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda Marav says the halach is like that, like Rabbi Akiva. And here the Gemara says, Utsricha, I need both of these rulings. And this, in effect, is a point, one point, and we indicate this as a, you can see the long point marking to the side of the Gemara. All of these lines develop this point. Why I need both rulings. D'i Ashmina Gabi Milo, had I been told the halacha about in the context of Mila, Hosam Hu the Machshir and Efshal Asois Me'es Malodochu Shabbos, the Lekha Kores. There, in the case of Mila, the Machshir that I could have done on Friday cannot be done on Shabbos because, with regard to Mila, there is no Kores. Now, what do you mean there's no Kores? We know that Mila, circumcision, is associated with the Kores penalty. So, what this means, the Lekha Kores, Rashi explains, the child is a minor, so his lack of circumcising himself doesn't result in Kores, and the father is not Chayav Kores for not having circumcised his son. The concept of Kores with regard to Mila does play a role when you're dealing with an adult and himself, where a person himself, after reaching adulthood, does not take care of getting circumcised. But what we're talking about right now is we're talking about a father and his little boy, his infant son. So Rabbi Akiva says that the machshirin, even though we're talking about a mila bismana, the machshirin are not doiche Shabbos. And why is that? Because by mila, in that case, there is no kores. Aval pesach deiko kores, a person who is expected to do korban pesach. And one who doesn't do it is chayav kores. He's chayav that severe punishment of kores. Emol lidchu Shabbos. I might have thought that the machshirin of the korban pesach will be doiche Shabbos because of this element of severity. Vi ashmin gabi pesach. And had I told you the halach is like Rabbi Akiva that the machshirin are not doiche Shabbos with regard to the korban pesach, mishum delo nichrusu aleh yud gimel brisos. Because you don't find in the Torah the word bris stated 13 times. Avol mila, de nichru soleo, shloshis re brisos. But the mitzvah of bris milah, concerning which the Torah repeats the word bris 13 times, bris meaning a covenant between the Almighty and the Jewish people, emo litchu Shabbos, I would think that the machshirin for such a thing should supersede Shabbos. Tzricha, therefore, I have to be told by milah as well that the machshirin are not doicha Shabbos. The Mishnah. This Mishnah deals with, our, as our topic indicator says, tzorche milah shenasim b'Shabbos, the different milah practices, the different things that are related to the circumcision that are to be done on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, oisim kol tzorche milah b'Shabbos, and the Mishnah now enumerates. The Gemara itself will ask, once the Mishnah tells me what you do, why is there a need for this introductory phrase of oisin kol tzorche milah b'Shabbos? Well, we'll wait for the Gemara for dealing with that. So the Mishnah says you can do all milah needs on Shabbos, which involves mohalin, that's the actual cutting off of the orla, of the foreskin. Uporin. Porin is after the foreskin is cut, then the skin that remains is pulled back, exposing the membrane. That's priya or porin. Umoitzitzin, that means after the cut has been made and the priya took place, the moyel, the circumciser, then sucks the area that was just cut, sucks the blood from there. Of course, he doesn't swallow it, he spits it out, but this sucking of the blood is of a very healthful nature for the circumcision. So motzitzin is sucking. U v'noisin olea isplonis, the kamon. A isplonis is a bandage, and kamon is a type of spice or herb that's medicinal, are placed over the circumcision. Imlo shochak me'erev Shabbos, if he didn't grind the kamon erev Shabbos, then loyes b'shinov v'nosin, then he grinds kamon with his teeth and places it over the milah. Imlo toraf yayin v'shem erev Shabbos, if he didn't prepare mix together. Toraf is an act of, as we use the expression, beating an egg. So it's mixing together or beating together oil and wine, which was also part of the medicinal treatment of the milah. So if a person didn't prepare the oil and wine, may erev Shabbos yinosein ze be'atzmo v'ze be'atzmo, then he should apply them separately. Rashi points out that regarding this and the loes b'shinov, whatever shinui, whatever unusual method of practice that can be done on Shabbos, so do it that way. In other words, best thing is to have things prepared erev Shabbos. But if you didn't prepare erev Shabbos, so do what you have to do. Do it on Shabbos, but do it with a shinui. V'ein oisin lo choluk lechatchila. If a choluk is a type of sleeve that goes over the milah, whose role is to keep the skin from drawing back over the membrane. So if a person didn't prepare this choluk, erev Shabbos, so then he should not make it on Shabbos. So what should you do? Avol korech olel smartut. You take a piece of fabric and wrap it around. Im lo hiskin me'erev Shabbos, if a person didn't bring the smartut to the milah location erev Shabbos, so then korech al etzbo umevi v'afilu mechotzer acheres, then he can wrap the fabric around his finger to then carry it in this unusual fashion by having it wrapped around your finger, even if it means bringing it from a chotzer acheres, from another courtyard. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis Michti. Let's look into our Mishnah. Kotoni Kulu, the Mishnah enumerates all the things that you do for the milah on Shabbos. The phrase that opened up the Mishnah, what is it needed for? So the Gemara answers, I need it for information contained in this source. Hamol, someone who is cutting, who is circumcising, calls manshu oisek b'mila, as long as he is involved with the mila, his hand is holding the knife and he's cutting skin. Choser bein al hatzitzin ha-ma'akvin es ha-mila, bein al hatzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es ha-mila. Don't forget, we're talking about Shabbos, and all skin cutting on Shabbos, in effect, is a Shabbos violation. In the context of a bris mila, so we make an allowance. The skin that needs to be removed from the aver, from the organ, involves skin that is ma'akev, the mila, that skin that without which you haven't accomplished anything, if you don't remove it. And there's also tzitzin she'ein ma'akvinas mila. They might be very small flaps of skin that don't cover the majority of the height of the membrane. So as long as he is involved with the mila, he can go back to remove not only the flaps of skin that are ma'akev es ha-mila, that are binding, without which the mila hasn't really been done, but he can also go back and cut off tzitzin, flaps of skin, that are not ma'akev es ha-mila. Piresh, however, once he has stopped or separated or removed himself from the cutting, al tzitzin ha-ma'akvin es ha-mila chozer, on flaps of skin that are binding with regard to fulfilling the mila, so naturally he can go back and cut them off, because up till that point then he hasn't really done the mila, and on Shabbos one is allowed to do bris mila. However, al tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es ha-mila eino chozer. However, with regard to little flaps of skin that don't prevent or aren't binding upon the mila fulfillment, he is not allowed to go back and cut them off. Let us glance at the Rashi. Ve'al she'ein ma'akvin eino chozer. Once he has been piresh, he is separated, he's finished his cutting, if all that's left are tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin, he cannot go back now. Dehavei kehaschol b'fnei atzmo, because going back would be like a new start. Ve'al elu lo nitan l'chasa Shabbos. Regarding those, he is not allowed to violate the Shabbos. V'hainu dekotoni kol tzorche mila. The opening expression of the Mishnah is dealing with this. All mila needs, v'afilu tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin, even the non-binding flaps of skin, chozer aleim, he can go back and do it, calls man shelo piresh, as long as he hasn't separated, as long as he hasn't stopped the cutting action. The Gemara continues, man tana piresh eino chozer. Who is the author of this idea? We had a Tanaic source that we just read, no name though appeared, and we want to know who is the author of this idea, that once you're piresh, you cannot go back. In other words, that once you stopped doing the mila, once you stopped the cutting action, or the whatever manipulation is necessary, but once you've stopped it, you cannot go back to do things that are not ma'akev. Now, we must look at the side of the Gemara with our introductory note and structural note before we can proceed with the Gemara. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, you can see there is quite a bit of marking activity. So on the side, we've written, the topic here is Man Tana Shesover, who is the Tana that holds the Piresh Min HaMila Eino Chozer Al Tzitzin She'ein Ma'akvin. That once you've stopped the Mila activity, you cannot go back to remove the non-binding flaps of skin. Under the Mivne heading, a double underline will appear, which highlights the names of Amoroyim, Hamatsiim, Gimel Hatsois. There are Amoroyim that will be presenting each a total of three suggestions for who the author of this is. The diamond will highlight the suggestions. We're looking for who is the author of the Tanaic source. So the first will be Rabbi Yishmael ben Yosher Yochanan ben Broka. The second suggestion will be that of Rav Ashi, who suggests Rav Yossi. And the third suggestion will come from the Amri Nardoi, who suggests it's the Rabbonon that disagree with Rav Yossi on a different occasion. So as you go on in the Gemara, we notice these markings, the double underlines with the diamonds are all part of the suggestions. You will notice inverted triangles are used to highlight what we call dechios atzois. At each point this inverted triangle appears, that will be a rejection of that which was being suggested. So we now turn to the Gemara, bearing in mind that we are going to see sources that don't necessarily address our case of Mila directly. It is upon us to extract a principle from the sources that we see to appreciate this idea of Piresh Eino Chozer, that by stopping, by separating from the actual, the initial Mila activity, you have finished. That's considered a finish, and you can't go back to remove that which is not me'akev. So the question had been asked, who is the Tana? So Rabbo Bar Baruchanom Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher ben Yochanan shel Rabbi Yochanan Brokahi. The Tana of the unnamed source will be this Rabbi Shmuel, the Sanya. We have a source, again, as we said earlier, it's not, the source is not dealing with Mila. We have to, though, get to a principle. Arba Asor Shechalios B'Shabbos. Here, once again, we're talking about the Korban Pesach, the 14th of Nisan that comes out on a Shabbos. Mafshit HaPesach Ad HaChozeh Devarei Rabbi Shmuel Benoi Shel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. Mafshit is the process of skinning an animal. Skinning an animal is a malacha, something that ordinarily is forbidden to be done on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Here we've got a 14th of Nisan that comes out on a Shabbos. We've shechted the Korban Pesach. Part of a sacrificial offering is the removal of its innards, which are placed on the Mizbeach as the sacrifice, the sacrificial part of the animal, so to speak, in order to get to the innards. So the Tanakhama says you are going to skin the animal till it's chazan, till it's breast. At that point you can cut the skin and hairs have been removed from the part of the animal where its organs are found. Now cut into the animal, remove the innards for sacrificial purposes. How much can you cut? Just till the breast, according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Chachomim omrim mafshitin es kulo. The Chachomim say that you can remove all of the skin. We have to tie this in to Bris Milah and the Tzitzin She'en Ma'akvin. Rabbi Shmuel's point is, you're allowed to do, as far as the skinning, only that which is absolutely necessary. Beyond the breast, beyond the chazeh, is not absolutely necessary for the sacrificial aspects of the Korban Pesach. So once I've done the absolutely necessary amount, I cannot do any more. With regard to the milah, once I have been poresh, once I have stopped the cutting, I've done that which is absolutely necessary. To go back and remove the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es hamila is already considered a would have been considered a new beginning, but at that point you're doing something. It's a new beginning for something that's not necessary to be done. So just like the hefshit till the breast is all that we allow, the cutting of the milah and the removal of the tzitzin hama'akfin is all will allow you to do. And that once you've stopped, you can no longer go back to do something that's not absolutely necessary, namely the removal of the tzitzin she'ein ma'akfin. The Gemara continues, mimai, and the inverted triangles we said before represents a rejection. Ad kan, who says that our the Tanaic source with the tzitzin she'ein ma'akfin is authored by Rabbi Shmuel ben Yoshua, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, mimai? Who says so? Ad kan lo komer Rabbi Shmuel ben Yoshua, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, hasam. Rabbi Shmuel said his din over there. Elo mishum de lo bo'inon ze keli v'anvehu. There, in the removal of the skin and the extraction of the innards, there is no element of mitzvah beautification, which is represented by the term zek keli v'anvehu. Avol hacha, in the case of circumcision, deboinon zek keli v'anvehu, the circumcision is no different than any other, we'll call chetz shel mitzvah, for example, a sefer Torah, or tefillin, or a lulav, or a sukkah, all different kinds of mitzvah articles, we call chepsa shel mitzvah. There is a need to beautify the mitzvah, have a beautiful sukkah, have a beautiful lulav. So, in the case of milah, there is also an element of having it done nicely. So, and nicely would mean that it's a clean job, free of all kinds of skin shreds that remain. So, hachi nami. So I would think here there would be, here too, the tzitzin she'ein ma'akfin could be cut off just like the tzitzin hama'akfin, just like those shreds of skin that would have been binding with regard to milah fulfillment. Desanya, and here we have a source that features this idea of mitzvah beautification. Ze keli v'anvehu. This is a pasuk that you find in the Shiras Hayam that we say in our daily Shachris davening. And what do we learn from Ze keli v'anvehu? Hisnoya lefonov b'mitzvahs. Hisnoya means pleasant, nice, an idea of beautification of mitzvahs. Asay lefonov sukkanoya. Make for the Almighty a make for the Almighty in the performance of the Almighty's mitzvah sukkah, make a sukkah noah, nice sukkah, the lulav noah, the shofar noah, the tzitzis noah, sefer Torah noah, uksov bo lishmo b'dyo noah, and write the sefer Torah with the intention of it being written as a sefer Torah with dyo noah, nice ink, b'kumus noah, nice quill, b'lablar uman, with a professional scribe, the korcho b'shiroi noin, and wrap it with pleasant materials. Abishol Omer. Abishol has a different drusha, v'anvehu. The word v'anvehu is made of two words, ani v'hu, from which we learn, have a domelo, that a person should emulate the Almighty. Mahu chanun v'racham, just like the Almighty is merciful, af ata heye chanun v'racham. So too, we are charged with following in his ways. At this point in the Gemara, we opened with a question of who is the author of Pireshenu Chozer by the Tzitzin Shein Ma'akvin. Rabba Bar Chana suggested it should be Rabbi Shmuel, who said a din regarding the minimum or the maximum that we will allow by skinning a Korban Pesach. That suggestion, though, was rejected, because by Korban Pesach there's no element of Zek Keli V'anvehu, but by Milah there is an element. So maybe, in order to achieve Zek Keli V'anvehu, I would be allowed to remove the Tzitzin Shein Ma'akvin Asamilah, even on Shabbos, even though I was Piresh. Hela Omar Rav Ashi, Ha Moni. So who is the author of Piresh Eino Chozer? Rebbe Yosihi. Disnan. The source that's now brought is a source dealing with the realm of Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh involves witnesses who note the new phase of the moon, representing the beginning of the new month, they would, upon noticing it, they would come to the court and testify that they saw it. If the, let's say, the end of one month and the onset of the new month, when the Edim, when the witnesses would notice this, happened to come out on a Shabbos, so the witnesses might notice the face far away from the Beis Din. In order to get to the Beis Din, to the court, they'd have to violate Tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos is the halacha that states one cannot travel, one cannot walk more than 2,000 amas from where he is at the onset of Shabbos. So, in the case of Kiddush HaChodesh, in order to testify about the new phase of the moon, the new moon lunar cycle, there is this idea that witnesses can travel and violate Shabbos by violating the Tchum Shabbos, going beyond 2,000 amas. That's by way of background. Now the Gemara features this Mishnah that says, "Disnan bein shenira be'olil ubein shelo nira be'olil." Whether the new moon has been olil is seen by all, very clearly seen, whereby you can rest assured that the court themselves saw the moon, and there's really no need for these witnesses. Ubein shelo nira be'olil, or it wasn't so clearly visible by all. Mechalin olav es haShabbos. The witnesses have a right to violate Shabbos, namely go beyond the 2,000 amma restriction in order to get to the court to testify. Rabbi Yossi Omer, now we have to focus on Rabbi Yossi, that's why we dashed underline his name. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nira Be'olil, Ein Mechalin Olav Es HaShabbos. If you're dealing with a very clear night, you can rest assured that the court themselves saw the new moon, so the witnesses are not allowed to violate Shabbos. The point is, and hey, we have to tie this into the Mila issue, since it was near a Be'olil, there's no longer any Tzorech Govoa. There's no mitzvah element in their testimony. Even though there is a mitzvah to testify about the new moon, nevertheless, there's no need for it. With that in mind, since there's no Tzorech Gavoa, we don't violate Shabbos, so too in the case of Piresh, where he finished the Milah, and all that's left are shreds of skin that are not Ma'akev, that is a non-Tzorech Gavoa. It's not necessary. So we for that which is not necessary, we are not mechalel Shabbos. We might as well add, it's something that's not necessary, even though by doing it there would be a mitzvah fulfillment, but it's not necessary. Therefore, we won't allow the Shabbos violation. Now that's what Rav Ashi is suggesting, that Rav Yossi is the author of this idea by the Milah, applying the Rosh Chodesh principle to Mila. Rejection, Mimai, who says, Dilmo ad kan lo kom Rabbi Yossi hasam, maybe Rabbi Yossi said his din over there, Elo Mishum delo nitno Shabbos litchos. Because at the very outset, Shabbos was not given over to be superseded. At the very outset, at the very beginning of that night, It was a clear, cloudless, pristine heaven. As such, the witnesses and their need to travel didn't even begin. Aval hocha, in the case of the Mila, with regard to Mila done on Shabbos, the nitba Shabbos litchos. This is a Mila bismana. It's a Mila on the eighth day of the child's life. Upon the onset of Shabbos, Shabbos was given over to be superseded. So they did the basic Mila. So hachinami. So since Shabbos was already weakened, so to speak, it was already superseded for the basic Mila, so maybe for the Tzitzin Shein Ma'akfinis HaMila also, even though he was Piresh, he can go ahead and do it. He can go back and cut them off. Elo Amri Nahar Doi. Rabbonin de Pligiler Rabbi Yossi Hi. Our third suggestion, coming from the Nardoi, is it is those Rabbonin who disagree with Rabbi Yossi, but don't confuse this with Rabbi Yossi before. This is Rabbi Yossi from a different, in a different context. It's Rabbi Yossi in the context of the Lechem Haponim. Let's say a word or two about the Lechem Haponim. In the Beis Hamikdash, from week to week, there's a table on which 12 loaves of bread were positioned, two stacks of six each. Every Shabbos, there was a, we'll call the changing of the guard, meaning the previous week's service group of Kohanim left, and the new group came in on Shabbos, let's say at noontime. Upon the arrival of the new Kohanim and the exiting of the old ones, the stacks of bread that were placed on the table were removed, and there was an incense offering, a spice offering that was contained within the bozichin. Lavona, which is the name of the spice, was offered on the Mizbeach, and the two stacks were removed from the Mizbeach, and the two new stacks of bread were of the Shulchan, that is, not the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, and two new stacks were then brought in. How did the change take place? So this source will describe how it took place with two opinions. As far as the opinion we are most interested in, it's as the Nardoi said, it's the Rabbonin who argue with Rabbi Yossi. After we read the source, then we'll have to tie this into the issue of the Mila, namely Piresh Ein Choizer al the Tzitzin Shein Ma'akvin. Tisnan. So we see the source. Arba Kohanim Nichnosim. Four Kohanim enter on Shabbos. Shabbos, let's say, during the daytime on Shabbos. Shnayim biyodim shnei sidorim. Two have two stacks of breads. Ushnayim biyodim shnei bozichin. And two more kohanim have the two bozichin. These are receptacles holding the lavona. The arba magdim lethem. Four kohanim enter before the four we just mentioned. Shnayim litol shnei sidorim. Of the four, two will remove the two stacks of lechem aponim that had been on the shulchan for the last week. Ushnayim litol shnei bozichin, and two more of the two other kohanim will take the bozichin from off the shulchan. Hamachnisin oimdim betzafon ufneim ledarom. The machnisim, the new ones, the ones bringing in the new loaves, would stand on the northern side of the hechal facing the south. And the motzian, the kohanim that are removing the old stack, stood south, facing north. Elu moshchin ve'elu menichim. The ones that were removing would draw off the table, while the two kohanim holding the two new stacks would be putting on as the old ones were being drawn off. Tifchoi shalzeh bitzat tifchoi shalzeh. It was the stacks were within one handbreadth, one of the other. In other words, as the old stacks were being slid off the table, the two new stacks were being placed on. Mishum shenemar, why the necessity of this immediacy or constancy? So the pasuk says lefonai tomid, and the word tomid is the key expression. The idea of at all times constancy, that the shulchan constantly must have bread on it. So how can you have bread on it constantly? That is only if, as the old stacks are being removed, the new ones are slipped on. Reb Yosi Oimer, afilu elu notlin ve'elu manichin af ze hoyotomid. As far as Reb Yosi is concerned, but he's not the shita that we really want to focus on. As far as he is concerned, even if the first stacks, the old stacks were removed in the morning of Shabbos, and the second stacks were placed a number of hours later in the late afternoon on the Shulchan, as far as Shabbos day is concerned, the day is it's a day on which the Shulchan had breads. True, it wasn't for every second of the day, but it's enough that during the day, the day didn't go by without breads. We want to focus on the Tanakhama, though. These are the Rabbonim that argue with Rabbi Yossi. What is considered constancy? One within the tefach of the other. Any break greater than that would be considered a lack of constancy. Now, how do we tie this into our case of the Bris Milah? Just like the Rabbonon require, their definition of Tamid is an element of constancy without a break, so too, you are said to be involved with the Milah as long as you haven't made a break. You haven't pirish, you haven't stopped. But as soon as you stop, anything you do afterwards is like a new beginning. And regarding a new cutting of tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es hamila, well, you can't do that on Shabbos. We continue in the Gemara. This, by the way, this last opinion remains. So that if you want to know who is the author of Piresh, Eino Choser, it will be the Rabbonon that disagree with Rabbi Yossi. It's the Rabbonon that say that involvement requires without a break. Once there's a break, it's already considered a new thing. And therefore, you're not allowed to go back after your pirish to remove the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es hamila. Before continuing in the Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei heading. Mol v'hishir tzitzin ha'ma'akvin. The Gemara will tell us about someone who did milah and left binding flaps, and it will tell us chayav kores. The question is, mi chayav? Who is chayav kores? After that question is asked, we will then see a series of triangles, and under our mivne heading, they represent three hatsa'ot, three suggestions of who the author might be, and we will then see as suggestion 1 and 2 come by, they will be rejected. And the word maskif appears with a squiggle underline indicating dechios. The Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Mehalkitin es hamila. Mehalkitin has to do with the removal of tzitzin hama'akvin. Removal of the tzitzin hama'akvin es hamila. Vimlo ilkeit onosh kores. And if it wasn't done, there's a kores penalty, money. Who is chayav kores? Omar Rav Kahana. Uman. Uman is the moyel, the circumciser. Why would you think he's chayav kores? Because he did a cutting, but he didn't remove that which he needs to remove. So all that he has done is made an injury on Shabbos without accomplishing the mitzvah. Therefore, he's chayav kores. Maskiflo Rav Papa. Rav Papa disagrees. He attacks Rav Kana's hesber and he says, Uman, you're telling me that the circumciser is chayav kores? Leim Olohu, why can he not say to those around him, Ano avdi palga de mitzvah, atun avdi su palga de mitzvah. I did half the mitzvah, you do the rest. So that which I did was a mitzvah. It's not something chayav kores, I did the beginning of the mitzvah. And since I did the beginning with license, so why should he be chayav kores? Why can't he just say, you should have finished it off? Turning to someone else, saying, you should have finished it off. Continuing in the Gemara, Elo Omar Rav Papa, Godoil. Rav Papa says this chayav kores has nothing to do with Shabbos. It has to do with an adult it's on any weekday, and the onish kores is because of the lack of mila. In other words, by if he didn't take off the tzitzin hama'akvin, so he's still considered an orel. He's still an orel, and as such, an orel who is a godol is chayav kores. Maskif lo ravashi. Godol, as far as a godol is concerned, behedya ksiv be v'orel zochor asher lo yimoil v'nichusha nefeshahi. There is a posuk that tells me that an adult that doesn't have a proper circumcision is chayav kores. So what do I need this Tanaic source to tell me that which is black on white in the psukim? Elo omar ravashi le'olam uman. The chiyuv kores is going on the circumciser, the moyel. Ukegoin the osa ben ashmoshish de Shabbos. And we're talking about a time period that the ben ashmoshish of Shabbos was arriving. In other words, the end of Shabbos was arriving, the last few minutes of Shabbos. And it's a mila that needs to be done. However, the omru le lo maspikis, they tell him, you know, you've waited all day to do the circumcision. There isn't going to be enough time in the day to finish the job. Lo masas, there isn't enough time. The omar lo, and he told those around him, misapkina, there is enough time. Of the omar lo istapik, he started the cutting, but there wasn't enough time to finish it off. So the cutting that he did on Shabbos was not a mila. It was a partial mila. It was basically an injury. V'ishtakach d'chaburahu d'avad. It comes out then that what he did was an injury. And for making a chabura on Shabbos, v'onush kores. For that, there is kores. Moitzitzin v'chule. Omar Rav Papa, hai umna d'lo mayitz. An umna, the circumciser, the moyel, who doesn't do the mitzitza, the sucking action, sakonahu, the avrinon lay. It presents a danger to the child, and he is deposed from his position. The Gemara asks, as far as Rav Papa, like, what's the big news over here? Pshita, Rav Papa is telling me something obvious. Midekomechali alei shabato sakonahu, from the fact that the Mishnah says you are to violate Shabbos. The Mishnah says you are moitzitzin on Shabbos. So I'm assuming that means you violate Shabbos for this. So sakonahu, that without it, it would represent danger. Otherwise, we wouldn't allow Shabbos to be superseded. So what does Rav Papa tell me that I couldn't have known from the Mishnah? The Gemara answers, Mahu detemo. I would have thought, Hai dam, the blood at the point of the circumcision. In other words, the blood that's over there. Mifkad pokid. The word mifkad pokid means it's deposited, as opposed to absorb. The term mifkat pokid would be something like liquid in a jar. It's not absorbed in the walls of the jar. It's sitting in the jar as a separate self-contained unit. So I would have thought that the blood over there is mifkat pokid, and the sucking of it does not involve a chabura. We should mention that the concept of chabura is the removal of absorbed blood, not deposited blood, but absorbed blood. So I would have thought, without Rav Papa, and if I had just the Mishnah, I would have thought the Mishnah is telling me procedures you do on Shabbos, but the mitzitza of Dam Mila is not an asiyas chabura because the blood is mifkat pokid. And during the if it were that, there is no chilul involved, and if a person didn't do the mitzitza during the weekday, we wouldn't depose him either. Komash malon chabure michbar. Rav Papa tells me that the blood is totally attached to the skin tissue, to the body tissue, and in sucking it out, you are making a chabura, and even so, it's allowed. V'dumya displininus v'kamon, and in this sense, it's like the isplanus, the bandage, and the kamon spice that together which they are taught together. Ma isplanus v'kamon kilo avid sakonahu. Just like the bandage and the kamon, if you don't do them, that would present a danger. Af hochinami, so to the mitzitza, kilo ovid sakonahu. By not doing it, you present the child with danger. That is what Rav Papa is telling us. The noisonal as planis, Omar Abai, Omar li aim. Abai says that his aim, his foster mother told him, Isplanisa de kulim kivi, the bandage for all kinds of injuries, is shave minoi tarbo v'chada kiro, that the, we'll call it the salve, or the potion that's added to the bandage, is made of seven parts, the shev minoi, sheva monoi, sheva, seven parts, chelev, fats, and one part kira. Kira is wax. Rava Omar, kira v'kalbo rishina. Rava says that the esplanonis is made of that. Rashi explains that the kira we know is the wax, and the kalbo rishina is a type of resin that comes from trees. Dorsha Rava b'mechuza. Rava announced this. He lectured on it in mechuza. This we'll call this wonder bandage that solves all kinds of bruises. And Karinu b'nei Menyumi Asya l'manayu. The children of Menyumi Asya. The Menyumi Asya is a doctor. Menyumi was the name of a doctor. So all of the sons of this doctor, they tore up their vessels, indicating that now that everyone knows the secret potion, so to speak, they're out of business. Omar Lahu, so Rava told them, Shafki Lahu Chala, I left something unrevealed that for you, so that you can still heal and probably make money from it. What's the matter that he didn't reveal? The Amar Shmuel, Haiman de Moshi Ape Velo Nogiv Tuva, a person who washes his face and doesn't dry it thoroughly. Nakturule Chaspenisa. We're at the top of Kuf Lamed Dalet Omed Aleph. So he will be victim of Chaspenisa. Rashi has two pshatim. One of them is some type of facial cracking, and the other pshat is a type of boil, a shchin, that will result. So, apparently, Rava didn't reveal to the community what you do in the case that someone washes his face and doesn't dry it thoroughly. So, but the Gemara wants to know, my takante, what is the solution? Answer, limshi tuva b'maya desilka. He should wash his face with the silka juices. Rashi says, Maya de silka is morok tradin. A tradin. Tradin is a type of vegetation. A tradin soup. So he should use that soup for healing his face that develops the chaspenisa. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.